The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 18, beginning at verse 21. Then Peter came to Jesus and said, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times?" Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven." So far the reading. You may be seated. How much? How often? What's the right amount? Peter thought that it should be possible to quantify the concept of forgiveness. How much forgiveness is enough? How often should it be practiced? Where does one draw the line and then say, just this much, this frequently, and no more? The practical-minded former Galilean fisherman was no doubt thoroughly accustomed to thinking of many issues of life in terms of specific mathematically defined quantities. When he brought in the catch of the day from the waters of the Sea of Galilee, there was arithmetic to do. How many fish were in the boat? What was the total weight of the day's catch? What price were the fish dealers who met the boats at the lakeshore willing to pay for the catch on a particular day? Was it profitable to sell at the first offer, or would it be worth the effort to haggle a bit for a better price? What were the realities of supply and demand in the marketplace in the various seasons of the year? Did good business dictate a quick sale or holding out for greater profits? Although those Galilean fishermen were in all likelihood people of limited formal education, they instinctively understood common sense business principles very well. Peter dealt with those issues day in and day out as a fisherman. This was the thought world of those who made a living as he did as fishermen. And then one day, Jesus came along and he said to Peter and to some of his partners in the fishing business, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And those hard-working, practical-minded fishermen left their boats and their nets and all the business dealings that went with that kind of paraphernalia, and they followed Jesus. And what a change that was. For 3 years they followed him. They listened to his words, they witnessed his deeds, and gradually they learned that the economy of the kingdom of God functioned according to a different set of principles than they were accustomed to in the fishing business. Jesus proclaimed the message of reconciliation with God that was based on a kind of arrangement that would never go down in the business world. The deal boiled down to this. First of all, admit that you have an insurmountable debt in your relationship with God, an obligation of such staggering proportions that the possibility of dealing with it from your side and by your abilities is utterly out of the question. Furthermore, the one to whom you are in debt is justified in dealing with you in the harshest terms imaginable, because you brought the situation on yourself. Next, admit that you and all your fellow human beings collectively have nothing of value to offer God which would cause him to give you anything. Recognize that the very thought that you have something of value that God should respect and reward is a ridiculous and absurd notion. And then comes the strange and marvelous twist. Out of pure, undeserved love and at great cost to himself, which involved the giving of his son as a vicarious sacrifice, God has caused your debt to be canceled. He then freely gives you the assurance that this is really so. And furthermore, he enables you to believe it, to believe that it is so, even though such a belief appears contrary to all logic and common sense. And there's one more thing. Don't even attempt to give God anything other than thanks and praise for his mercy. Because if you do, that's an indication that you didn't understand the terms of the arrangement in the first place and that you are excluding yourself from it. Well, how long did it take for those fishermen to get their minds around this kind of arrangement? If they knew their Old Testament scriptures, and they probably did, they would have come to recognize that what Jesus taught was the same teaching that was found in the scriptures concerning the helplessness of mankind and the compassion and mercy of God. The prophet Isaiah had laid out the whole arrangement beautifully in this way. Everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Yes, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Let your soul delight itself in abundance. Our God will have mercy. Our God will abundantly pardon. Peter and the other disciples had heard Jesus issue the same gracious invitation which summarized his entire message. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The compassion and capacity for forgiveness which God manifests by grace alone is abundant. It's not subject to quantifiable limits. Where sins abounded, grace abounded much more. But old thought patterns die hard. And so Peter posed his question to Jesus. How often, how many times should I forgive my brother? Peter probably thought that he had a firm grip on God's forgiveness, but now he wanted to get down to the nitty-gritty of human relations. Exactly how forgiving should we be in our relations with one another? Peter suggested 7 times might be a good answer. He probably thought that the number 7 was quite generous. It can be documented that Jewish rabbis of that era actually taught that a person needed to forgive the same sin 3 times. The ancient Jewish synagogue, the American judicial system, and the game of baseball all have this in common. 3 strikes and you're out. Could be that Peter thought he should receive a pat on the back from Jesus for so thoroughly grasping concepts of grace and mercy that he suggested upping the number from 3 way up to 7. See what a good student I have been, he may have been thinking. And the number 7 had that wonderful connotation of wholeness and completeness, as well as the denotation of a specific quantity. But as on other occasions, Peter needed to be corrected by his patient Lord and Master. No, Peter, I don't say 7 times. But you like numbers. I'll give you numbers. Try 70 times 7. God has forgiven you, Peter, far more than you will ever be called on to forgive. God's forgiveness has no limitations in quantity. If that were not so, our situation would be quite hopeless. The only thing that excludes one from God's forgiveness is stubborn, self-imposed unwillingness to believe it. Now take this principle out into the world in which you live. Let the compassion of God guide you in your dealing with others. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven by a merciful God. He will heartily forgive and readily do good to those who sin against him. Let us all pray. Please turn to the collect indicated in the bulletin, and we will pray that prayer together. Please rise. O Almighty, eternal God, we confess that we are poor sinners and cannot answer one time out of a thousand when you contend with us, but with all our hearts we thank you that you have taken all our guilt from us and laid it upon your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and made him to atone for it. We pray graciously sustain us in faith and so govern us by your Holy Spirit that we may live according to your will in neighborly love, service, and helpfulness, and not give way to wrath or revenge, that we may not incur your wrath, but always find in you, gracious Father, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.